mission. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM, or perhaps streaming from kyrs.org. Now, I've got some wonderful guests with me in the studio, but you know, we have this thing that we've been doing, and I'm going to read a little bit. For whatever reason, I'm using my iPad today, and I forgot to transfer over the When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again music from Dr. Strangelove. So you just have to imagine. Okay, here we go. Number 7. I'm reading from On Tyranny from Timothy Snyder. Just a little bit. Number 7. Be reflective if you must be armed. If you carry a weapon in public service, may God bless you and keep you. But know that evils of the past involve policemen and soldiers finding themselves one day doing irregular things. Be ready to say no. And then, you know, the next 3 or 4 pages kind of goes on to say, you know, give a little history of police officers and other armed folks being dragged into, illegal activities. And eventually they wind up in The Hague, you know, and saying I was only following orders and what, you know, crazy stuff like that. So I know right now, I'm sure there's a lot of squad cars that have out and about tuned in as they like to do my clientele. But so if you're listening, just think about it, you know, don't do something that's going to get yourself in trouble. All right. Hey, we've got a purpose. We're going to be talking, and I've got so many, this is so cool. Nerdgasm. Which is kind of what we do every Tuesday here. We have a nerdgasm. But and specifically, we're doing nerdgasm, which is the burlesque gurnots. Did I say that correctly? Burlesque gurnots?
Yeah, burlesque gurnots.
Okay. All right. March 28th and the 29th. Doors are at 7, shows at 8. And we're going to get more into that. But first of all, I know some of these folks. Well, I know everybody here, but we're talking about stage personas, and we're going to address them by their stage persona name. So why don't we just go around and do that? And tell me, you know, what's your role? What you're doing? What's your stage name?
Hi, I'm Muffy the Manslayer, and I'm a local burlesque dancer. I'll be performing a number on Friday and Saturday.
Hi, I'm Dana Might. I am a local actor and performer, and I will also be doing an act this weekend for Nerdgasm.
And I'm Mexi Pexi, and I work for a local organization and do activism. I will also be doing operations management for the show as well as an act.
Okay, this are, you know, Mexi Pexi, I have to hats off to that one. So let's talk about the show now. So I've got so many definitions I need help with right here. What would you classify as a nerdgasm?
Well, I feel like it's the moment when you roll a nat 20 in a D&D campaign.
Oh.
It's the moment when you see the Star Wars intro come on your screen for the first time. You hear that blast of music and the yellow text starts scrolling.
A good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that sound? Do you guys agree with that definition? You want to add anything to it?
Yeah, it's those goosebumps you get when you see one of like your favorite characters in a movie or that you read in a book, and you're just like so excited to revisit that.
Okay.
Galadriel's sleeves in The Lord of the Rings, ones that brush on the ground.
Oh, those are really cool. I would agree. Now, okay, so nerdgasm, check. Now, you know, I always have like a hard time kind of nailing down the concept of burlesque. So, you know, maybe compared to cabaret, what would you say the difference is?
Tricky. I mean, you take your clothes off.
How do we define cabaret?
I don't know. Okay, why don't we just take cabaret? That was stupid. I shouldn't even have said that. What is burlesque? That would be a better question.
I think that a lot of people, when they hear the word burlesque, think of just, you know, really sexy, like in your face kind of performances. And while there is some of that, for a lot of us, it's more about the creative expression and the sensuality of movement and not necessarily about sexualizing.
I feel like people always think of Cher, like Wagon Wheel with Toosie.
Yeah.
and the movie from the early 2000s. And that's these big, like, show-stopping numbers. And that's definitely some of it, like Dana was saying. But I feel like it's, you know, burlesque is a dance number. Usually you're taking off items of clothing, although I've seen really cheeky ones where you start off undressed and you put your clothes back on.
How much do they go? Like, how much clothes do they put on? Like an overcoat and galoshes and things like
that? It depends on the performer,
yeah,
I think, and the type of act they're doing, like the type of character that they're embodying.
Yeah. And it's different than stripping.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of like, I don't know, like cultural norms to it. Like, the traditional, like, pasties that are usually, you know, you spend a lot of time decorating them and they match your act. And even male performers wear pasties, even though it's, you know, maybe legal for male performers to show their full bare chest.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a hallmark of a burlesque number, is that you maybe see some pasty.
Okay.
Yeah, I think burlesque, a lot of it is just that tease that you get. You know, it's an artistic tease. And so it's not necessarily, like, overly sexualized as some people might think it is. It's just, that's the excitement comes from that tease that you get.
The anticipation.
And the artistic.
Okay. And is it always, I mean, are there magic acts in burlesque? Would that be like, would somebody come in? Unless it was, I mean, do you have like singing acts? Like in cabaret? And then is there like, can you have comedians in burlesque too? And like, I guess sometimes I get a little bit mixed up with vaudeville and burlesque a little bit, maybe.
I think there's a big overlap.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see a vaudeville show that has burlesque acts in it alongside, like, musicians, comedians. There was a Halloween show that had a magician somewhat recently. And this is not too dissimilar. We also have drag performers and live musicians who are performing. So I think, like, sometimes vaudeville shows can encompass, like, burlesque acts. Like, you would see a burlesque number as part of a vaudeville show, a variety show.
Okay, and this one in particular, it's going to be kind of centered around kind of cultural figures, I guess.
Like Nerdgasm moments.
So, like, I saw, like, Luigi, somebody was like Luigi in this, and then Spider-Man, things like that.
So, like, with the ideas for this one, or also, I feel like this show, since it's a fundraiser show, and we want it to be like a celebratory sort of, you know, coming together of the community and supporting each other and celebrating each other. Oh, I just lost my train of thought.
It was about, it was about,
like, what kind of numbers are...
Well, yeah, so what's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's...
So, when we were first talking about, like, well, what kind of ideas or acts are we going to be focusing on for this show? Misha, Evie's partner, said, well, what are you nerdy about? What are you passionate about? Make your act something out of that. And the example that he used was, if you're really nerdy about knitting, do an act that involves knitting.
Oh, okay.
So
that sounds like pretty good theater.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really cool show because each performer, like, there's so much passion behind each of these acts because it's a character or it's something that means a lot to the performer.
Right. So what are you passionate about? What are you going to...
No spoilers.
I know I was going to say.
Okay, so we can't do spoilers or...
No, but I can say I'm doing a character from one of my favorite TV shows.
Okay.
So I'm really excited.
Okay.
And my number is... less sort of enticing and sexy and more comedic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have a very good variety show in the sense that, like Muffy said, you know, we have a live band. We have people that are doing, we have a singer, you know, and the acts aren't just like movies and cartoons. Yeah. It truly is a variety show, and each person has taken what they're nerdy about or something that they really like, whether it's a movie or a TV show, like okay. Dynamite said.
Or a book. Or
musical
a book.
Theater.
Or yeah, theater. Musical theater. Yeah,
and they've made it their own and created an act to entertain. That's
so cool, because, you know, variety shows used to be such a big part of my growing up. I mean, from Flip Wilson, Sonny and Cher, and all that, and Johnny Cash had a variety show. I mean, it was like, it was really a popular thing. And I recently saw something on Netflix. It was like a live show. Have you seen this? I forget who the comedian is, but it's a live show while you're watching it, and they have like singers on it, and they do, it's more of like an interview format, but... Anyway, but I think people are kind of hungry for this kind of entertainment.
And one of the reasons why my partner and I, you know, my husband and I do these types of shows with the Burlesquernauts and why we put together, you know, this one specifically, Nerdgasm, and the one last year that we did for Queers for Palestine, is we, like Dynamite had mentioned previously here shortly ago, where she was talking about, you know, bringing community together. Our queer community together. We wanted to create a space that allowed for that variety, you know, for the drag queens as well as the burlesque.
Right.
And whoever else.
Yeah, and other talent, you know, whether it's theater or, you know, live music and other entertainment, to come together and create that art and entertain the community.
Yeah. And so this is really cool. So most of your burlesque shows have been pretty much about fundraisers for for people, and this time your fundraiser is going to be for Spectrum Center, is that right?
Yeah, so we are doing a fundraiser this year for Spectrum Center here in Spokane. We wanted to do a local fundraiser that focused on a local organization that does help in our local community. They are very close and dear to me in on a personal level, just because they have helped out my family and my son, you know, through their transition and through their gender.
I also know people personally who have gotten help from Spectrum and their GAP program.
They've provided a lot of services through their GAP program for myself and for other people that we know.
And what is that GAP?
The GAP program is their gender-affirming care program. And they provide different services where they help you change your name and, update your documents legally.
And, completely pay for that. And so, yeah, we're raising money specifically for that gender-affirming products program, as we see, I think, you know, we've been trying to keep it fun and light and joyful, but I think as we see this administration's attacks on trans people, on access to gender-affirming care, like the kind of tenuousness of Medicaid, especially as, you know, in Washington, we have a huge reliance on Medicaid, and trans people are statistically more likely to fall under that socioeconomic line and need to access Medicaid to pay for their gender-affirming care. So just trying to find a way to maybe shore up some of those gaps or shore up like the resources in our community to make sure that we can be here for the most vulnerable if when the administration continues these attacks.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we can all say, oh, we're safe, we live in Washington, but not with national laws that can get passed and that Washington can't do anything about. And you know, Texas is, I don't know if it passed or not, but they were going to make it illegal to be transgender in Texas.
Well, and even
illegal.
Though,
and Idaho just kind of follows suit with Texas, you know?
And even though we are, you know, quote unquote, safe here in Washington with the current laws that we have, that doesn't mean that everybody has the resources available to be able to get things done or to get that gender affirming care. Right. And so that's why this is such a great program, because they do pay for everything, whether it's clothes, you know, like we mentioned, legal documentation and other
haircuts.
Yeah, there's so many things that that they're able to assist with.
And that's so cool. And it's such a maze, too. You know, when you do this, you know, when I did it, there wasn't anybody here. I mean, I'm so grateful for the work they do. But, you know, it's like you just get on the internet and you start just researching stuff. And you have to, like, kind of, you know, weigh out what do you think is right? What is, you know, what's a bunch of baloney on the internet as far as, like, who you can get services from and what you need to do. And then, of course, all the name change paperwork. And, you know, I remember doing Social Security And I had done everything that they had wanted me to do for the gender marker change, but it wasn't like in the correct order. And so I went up there, you know, you wait a long time, finally get up there, and the guy says, oh yeah, your name change paperwork is good, but you need to have this here for your gender marker. And I was like, well, it's there, but, and he looks at me and he says, well, would you like to do your name change today or come back later and do the whole thing? I'm like, okay, you got me over a barrel. We'll do that and I'll come back and do it later. But, you know, it was like, that would have been really handy to have somebody to say, oh man, make sure everything is perfect. I mean, that's back when there was a Social Security. So we'll see, you know, but yeah, so so funds will go to help that. So people were at the gender freedom rally on Saturday, and you're looking for something to do. You know, this would be a good continuation to keep showing support. And I think there's a lot of people who I know that went there that made some new friends that were either members of the transgender community or allies, and you know, pretty fun group to hang out with, I think, for the most part. And why not, you know? So why don't we tell people how they can get tickets while I'm thinking about this?
Yeah. All right. Tickets are $35, or, you know, we're doing a special flash sale right now. We're with the code all caps STUDENT10. You can get $10 off your ticket. Those are available both on Spectrum Center's social media, on the Burlesque or Not's Facebook page. I think both Dana and I have tickets linked on our Instagram. So you can find Muffy Manslayer on Instagram, and I've got the ticket right in my bio. It's March 28th and 29th at the Guardian. Doors open at 7. It's an 18-plus show. There's no alcohol there. So if you, you know, are a student, you're 18, you want to come check it out and have a good time, we'd love to see you. I've been thinking a lot about, have you seen the Dan Savage quote that's like, during the darkest days of the AIDS crisis, we buried our friends in the morning, we protested in the afternoon, and we danced all night.
Yeah.
The dance kept us in the fight because it was the dance we were fighting for.
Oh, wow, that's a great quote.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And I feel like that really, to me, resonates. Sort of hits it. Yeah. What we want to do.
It's rebellion, it's joyful, it's artistic, it's fun. You can come spend your money, see, you know, some hot performers doing a variety of things, and also know that your money is going to support the trans community here in Spokane.
Yeah. Now, what better way to rebel than to, like, continue to live your life like, joyfully and celebrate.
And authentically.
And authentically, you know, without having to, like, worry or fear the nonsense that's going on around us right now. Like, come surround yourself with people like you that are here just wanting to celebrate you as well.
That's what I tell people about the Pride Festival. It's like, I don't think any of my siblings would ever, well, my sister Julie would, but the rest of them, nobody would ever come to the Pride Festival. And I think it's, they're just worried that it's going to be crazy, or they're going, somebody's going to think they might be gay, you know, something like that. Who knows?
No.
I don't know. You know, I don't know what, but I just keep saying, you should come because it's the nicest group of people, and you will feel so good about yourself just being surrounded by kind and nice people. And all the junk you read about in the paper and see on the news, it's a break from that to be with fun people that are kind and having a good time.
Yeah, and for our show, we're actually encouraging our audience to show up in their nerdy costumes, you know, in whatever makes them feel good and makes them happy.
Nice.
So, you know, if you want to dress up like your favorite character, or you want to, you know, do some Comic-Con, right?
Cosplay
type stuff. Yeah. Like, feel free to do that, you know. Come have blast with us.
Bring your crochet.
Bring your crochet. You know, make some friends and
that's
have a great
such a
time.
Cool idea. Because you know, there aren't enough opportunities, as far as I'm concerned, to do cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's basically like a big costume party that does cost you a little bit of money, but you get a show, you get a good time, you get to hang out, meet new friends, and at the end of the day, know that you're supporting keeping trans people's access to care and gender-affirming products here in Spokane.
Boy, doing a good thing and having a good time.
Heck yeah.
That's the hope.
Pretty be pretty cool. And like, you know, I'd like to say that we should be having a good time. And, you know, there are things that make you sad and there are things that make you angry. But the best thing you can do, if you can do it, is not to show those emotions in public, because they feed off of it. Mm-hmm. They feed off of it, and it's not good for them or you. And the best thing you can do is to have a good time as who you are, because that really fries them.
Oh, they mm-hmm. hate that. They yep. hate to see that their, you know, hatred and stuff doesn't make us visibly like angry or sad, or you know, it takes that power away from them for us to continue to be our authentic selves.
Yeah. I mean, I think about how rankled people got about the Pride crosswalk downtown. Like it still lives rent free in people's brains, and it's just like a pretty rainbow intersection.
I know it is nothing. It's nothing. Even like at the whole thing of like picking on trans people as you're going to rally a whole political thing around this small group of people that doesn't do anything to you. Yep. Has nothing affect. There's like six NCAA athletes who are transgender, and they aren't winning the races either or doing anything. It's like, but it's just crazy. Okay, we got to do our 20-minute after the hour stuff, and I haven't loaded up anything, so I'm going to do that, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to do deeper dives here. Okay, here we go.
The greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
Have a car that you don't drive anymore? What about an old boat that's seen better days? Running or not, even if you
crashed that Chevrolet and then stepped away,
we'll take it. All proceeds benefit KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, and you get a tax receipt for your donation. Call toll-free today at 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for March 21st through the 23rd. Friday, Lyle Morris at Arborcrest, the Little Gospel Devils at Chan's Red Dragon, Electro Grave at the Chameleon, and Jerry Lee Raines and JoJo Dodge at Zola. Friday and Saturday, Karma Circle at Bolo's. Saturday, Jason Garrett Evans at Huckleberry's, Pamela Benton at Arborcrest, the Spokane Symphony at the Fox, Quarter Monkey at 49 Degrees North, Spooky, Absent Cardinal, and Public Apology at Soulful Soups and Spirits, the Swaggerlies, Vera Gogo, and the Dillrods at the District, Blake Braley and Day and Kai at Zola, and the Rockfest Battle of the Bands Finals, with Asphyxia, Crimson Creek, Dissonance, Flyborn, the Monday Band, and Not Taking Complaints at Players and Spectators in the Valley. Sunday, All Ages Blues Jam at Fired Up Pizza in Chihuahua, Silver Linings at Mary Hill, False Visions at the Big Dipper, and Day and Kai with the Hot Club of Spokane at Hamilton Studio. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune in to Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Out and About receives support from Spokane's nonprofit Rock Rollers Club, formed in 1958 to unite people with a common interest in rocks, gems, and lapidary art. Spokane Rock Rollers is hosting the Spokane Gem and Mineral Show, March 28th through the 30th. More information at 509-315-8236 and online at SpokaneRockRollersClub.org. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai Sunrise Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Edition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline helps victims develop a personalized, practical safety plan that includes ways to remain safe while in a relationship, planning to leave, or after leaving. If you or someone you know needs help, information is available at 1-800-799-7233 and online at thehotline.org.
All right, we are back. You know, I jam all those things into the 20-minute spot. It seems like it takes forever. And apologies, Jim, if you're listening to Americana Avenue and you heard the Muppets cut in. Little problem with the iPad here. So, hey, we're back. And, of course, you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. And I am talking to my friends here. We've got Buffy, we've got Dana, we've got Mexi Pexi, all here, all burlesque performers, some of whom I have worked with before, but not in a burlesque capacity. And I was going to ask, how did you all come about doing burlesque? What? And, oh, big thing is, we're basically telling you about the show, The Burlesque or Not's Nerdgasm, March 28th and 29th at The Guardian. Shows at 8, doors open at 7, and we'll give you some more information on that pretty soon. But how did you all get interested in doing burlesque?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think back. I got started by being a stage kitten, And what a stage kitten does is they're kind of part of the crew. And so after each act, if there's clothing or props or anything left on stage, the kittens come and clean it up and like give things back to the performers so that the performers only have to worry about performing. So I did that a couple of times, I think. But I don't even remember how I think maybe through Chris Hansen, because I know him through theater.
Oh, that's right. Chris was emceeing.
Yeah, he emcees.
He goes by Dick Daly on stage.
Yes, he does. Dick Daly. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. But so I first did a show with him in 2021. And then like that year for the Halloween burlesque show, that was my first time stage kittening because I told Chris, I was like, hey, I would love to get into this. If you need people to help in any way, let me know. And I mean, that was basically it, I guess.
Okay. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good origin story. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I had a similar path. I was doing professional theater right out of college, and I loved it, but oh my gosh, it was taking up so much of my time. When you think about it, like 3 hours a night of rehearsal, five nights a week for 2 months, and then the show goes up, and you're giving up your whole weekend, like every, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday performing, and at the end of it, somebody, if you're really lucky, hands you a check for $500, and that's like...
Or $100.
I was going to say $500.
I was like, who got that?
I don't know that I've ever made that. I think the most I ever made was like $300,
$350. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I made $250 once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I was starting to feel a little bit burnt out from putting so much creative energy into something. And it's not that money is everything, but... You know,
definitely
it's a rough
helps.
World about there, out mm-hmm. there, and having a little extra cash. To,
yeah, you have bills to pay.
Yeah, and I was invited by Dick Daly to come see a burlesque show. He's kind of one of those intersection points between theater and dance, mm-hmm. and I thought it was so fun, so wild, so creative, like the way that everybody was so confident and embodied and sensual, and also were telling stories with their bodies. I think that like. That's one of the other common misconceptions about burlesque is that mm-hmm. you're just taking your clothes off for money. But almost every act I've seen is telling a complete story from
yeah,
start
with the
to
character.
Finish or like making some kind of political point or falling into some like character. Like it's very theatrical. And I also just kind of stumbled into it, got invited to stage kitten once and then perform. And I've been performing now since... I think this is my third or fourth year dancing. And yeah.
That's it? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I started, I guess it would be coming up on the end of my third year. I think I started in 2022.
Okay.
And I cool. love that I get to be creative and usually like we're given a theme, like nerdgasm, you know? Mm-hmm. But I get to come up with a story that's my own to tell. And I get to do the costume design. I get to make my own pasties. I get to do my own hair and makeup design. And, you know, you rehearse with a group maybe 3 times. You do work on your own. And then you perform like once or twice and it's a 3-minute act and you're done. And you can sometimes, you know, make more than you would have made doing professional
sure.
theater
mm-hmm.
for a month.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So and also, I like, just
yeah,
want to say that.
Creatively validating and you like get compensated in what feels like a fair way. For
so
you're
kind
doing.
Of writing your own part. You're mm-hmm. costuming your own part. Mm-hmm. You're acting your own part mm-hmm. and probably directing mm-hmm. part too. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And what's really nice about a lot of the, well, I think all of the performers that I've had experience with, we all like brainstorm together. Like we're sharing ideas. We're helping each other with
constructive
issues.
Criticism.
Yeah, giving like, constructive criticism yeah. or helping out with something if someone needs help. It's really welcoming and supportive.
I spent a couple hours last week helping my roommate, who's also a performer in the show, bedazzle their pasties. So, yeah, it's super collaborative.
That's cool.
Well, just today, I was like, can someone help me trim my wig? I don't know how to do it. And Evie was like, I got you.
Yeah, I'm like, I have all the stuff for hair, yeah. So I'll do your wig.
Right. So, Maxi Pexi, how did you get started?
Well, that's a funny story. So my partner, he's been doing burlesque for like, I don't know, 13 or 14 years.
Wow.
Like, that's his thing. He loves it. You know, theater, burlesque, the drag scene. Like that is, that's his thing. I'm more back of house. So like I'm usually in the back helping the trains move, you know, selling the tickets and the marketing and like making sure everybody has what they need. I'm terrified of like public speaking and being in front of people.
I have a hard time believing that. But yeah.
I can do it. I just prefer not to.
Okay.
And so when him and I got together 6 years ago, like he introduced me to the whole like scene of burlesque. And I'm like, this is terrifying. How do you guys do this in front of people, right? You go up there and you just create this thing. This is amazing. And I'm like, I'm never going to do that. That is terrifying. So this is actually this show will be my first performance that I've ever done.
Oh.
So yeah, this will be my burlesque coming out show.
Woo!
And are you pretty excited?
I am excited just because I loved the theme of it, and I was like, well, I want to do a nerdy thing too. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it, and no spoilers, but it's one of my favorite childhood movies. You know,
a gay awakening for a lot of people.
Oh, yes, awakening. You know. Rawr. But I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to be doing an actual act with all these great performers that I've known for years now and, you know, have watched them grow. And so I'm like, let's do this.
When you guys kind of talk about your characters, is that, so do you have like, kind of diving a little bit into this a little bit, maybe this is getting nerdy too, but
be nerdy.
Does your character sort of like one that you take into whatever? So like Muffy, would you be Muffy, but now playing, and I'm not gonna, I don't know what you're going to play, but let's say you're Spider-Man. Would you be Muffy as Spider-Man, or would you just be Spider-Man? And then,
a little bit. I think once you pick a burlesque name, it's kind of like a persona in a way.
Kind of like a drag thing, right?
Yeah.
And to me, Muffy is this very, like, she's very bisexual.
And she has a last name, too.
She does. She's Muffy the Manslayer. I loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so it was kind of inspired by that. And so Muffy is very, like, I really love duet acts that are kind of gay. It's very, like, I don't know, just very, like, sapphic. Mm-hmm. But each individual act is also telling a story from start to finish. So Muffy is, like, she's a little different than me. I kind of think of it as putting on drag. I'm not a terribly feminine person. And so to portray, like, this burlesque character feels like drag, and then I find a storyline for that character to be in. Like I've done, you know, Carmella from, you know, a gay vampire number.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
And I've done like a gay cowboy number. Mm-hmm. And Dana and I have been gay bank robbers.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of.
I've been your gay ghost girlfriend.
You have.
Also.
Oh, Dynamite, that's such a great role. Yeah. Do you sort of take your persona into the role that you're playing, and then no matter what it is?
I think for me, the way, while I was listening to Muffy, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about this before. What am I going to, but I think for me, Dynamite is like a version of me that is fearless and confident and unashamed and powerful, which in my personal life, a lot of times I find difficult. But when I'm on stage performing, like performing is my passion. Like I just come alive there.
Yeah.
And with the name Dynamite, it's like a spark, a little explosion or something. And like that's kind of that's how I feel when I'm doing an act. I feel like it's so empowering to me. Oh my gosh, I forgot what the question was.
Well, I think you answered it, which is okay, basically great. Like, do you bring that character into like, who were going to Mario or
no,
Luigi?
No, what I wanted to say specifically was like, so I feel like when I perform, there's Dana Mite, but then depending on what sort of act I'm in or what sort of character I need to be, I would want to add a little more specific characterization to make that,
right,
you know, its own little thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. And so, Maxi Pexi, you have just come up with this character. How did you explore this? How did you make this happen?
How did I explore my name that
yeah,
I chose?
Yeah, well, yeah, or the character you're building.
So Dana Mite and I had actually had previous conversations at like a completely different show, and I was mentioning to her that I really wanted to do burlesque one day, just like do some type of like silly performance, because that I feel like that's just who I am, you know. I mean, on a professional level, I'm usually like very straight faced, right?
Yeah.
Like
I'm very buttoned up.
Yeah, very buttoned up. But on the inside, I'm just like a massive dork, right? And I just find things like silly and dumb. And I'm like, I want to do something that reflects that, you know? And so not so much like you're a traditional like sexy tease, but more of like awkward, like weird.
Oh, gotcha.
That you question. You're like, why did I find that sexy? Like, that was really weird. And so,
but enjoyable.
Yeah. And I think that for me personally, the reason why I chose that is because, you know, you can see nudity, you can see boobs on the internet anywhere,
yeah,
right? Like,
right.
We all have computers in our pockets, but for me, I'm like, if I see those weird, quirky acts, I'm like, oh, I really like that. Like, you don't see those.
Yeah, you're a little often. More hooked.
Yeah, right? You're like, I don't know what I just watched, but I really enjoyed it, you know? And so that's kind of the vibe that I try to, like, go for when it comes to, you know, the act that I chose. And if I do any in the future. And, yeah, so for me, Maxi Pexi is just my alter ego.
Okay,
That's usually silenced during the week.
You know, I think if I was listening to this show, which I am, I'm listening to you guys, I would say, boy, I'd really like to get involved in burlesque. Is there a way that people can contact you? I mean, how do people who are listening to this that might say, oh, this might be for me?
I mean, I think the first step is to see a show. Yeah. I honestly think that's the way that we all got into it, is we went to see something and we loved it. And then you start talking to the people who
are involved.
I was
going to say, literally just talking to people at shows. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But also a lot of us are on like Instagram and Facebook under our like persona names. So like if, you know, we have an acquaintance in common or something, like, I guess I can only say this for myself. Like, I'm comfortable if someone reached out to me and said, hey, I know you're involved in this. I'm interested. Can we talk? Or, you know, something like that. Because actually, that's how one of our friends,
Lennox,
who's also in this show. What was that?
There's St. James Lennox.
Lennox, thank you. Yes. They are debuting an act for our show. But that's how they got involved. They reached out to Muffy and I. I'm so sorry. And said, hey, I kind of want to get involved in this. How do I do that?
That's really cool.
There's also classes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of like professional, long-time burlesque dancers in the Spokane scene who teach classes that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Both Dynamite and I have taken classes from Miss Nikki B at the Bloomhouse Babes.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Miss Gigi Spot is also going to start offering classes soon. Then besides that, I would say just like volunteer to help.
Yeah.
Being on stage is so tempting and intoxicating, but it is kind of one of those cultures where you sort of have to prove yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you need to like prove that you can show up, be reliable,
that
you fit into the scene, right, and don't make people uncomfortable,
right,
that you
be respectful.
Um, And then, yeah, like, I think a lot of folks just start stage kittening or take classes, and then those opportunities sort of get offered to you as you're around in the scene for longer.
Somebody will end up seeing you at a show or at a thing, and they're like, ooh, you know, and they'll recruit you for their stuff. So
And so the best thing to do is, like, say, show up. Mm-hmm. So how would somebody, I know people want to know right now how they can get tickets to this, to show up. And see what happens.
You can get tickets on Spectrum Center's website. Not their website. My apologies. On their social medias. Mm-hmm. They do have the link posted on there. And I know that Muffy the Manslayer has the link also on their social media, as well as Dynamite.
Facebook group, too.
And our group, the Burlesque or Knots, we do have a Facebook group, a Facebook page on Facebook, and we have the link there as well for those shows.
And
like, there's really an event for Nerdgasm, so you can get to the ticket link through there.
You're really lucky. You're tuning in at a good time. We have a flash sale on right now, so if you find the ticket link and you put in the code in all caps STUDENT10, you can get a $10 off discount on that ticket for either Friday or Saturday night. Doors open at 8. It's at the Guardian. We would love to see you.
And I just searched Nerdgasm Spokane, and it took me right to the ticket site.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about The Guardian, because, you know, I have friends. Well, Sarah and I did a little aerial.
Oh, cool.
Fun. Yeah, it was very fun. But of course, not worth paying money to see, but
hey, I would pay money to see that.
I would come see you and support
sure.
you, babe.
Yeah, like Evel Knievel. but everybody talks about that, the Guardian being the place for that. And so, what's it like to perform there? What's the space like?
The Guardian is such a beautiful event space, and for me personally, it's so representative of, like, the diversity in the community, just because it is such a beautiful chapel. Just so, you know, you have that, like, religious background of it, but also, like, the transformation that it's gone through and, like, the community that's a part of it now. It's just, it's so welcoming and supportive in so many ways here in our community.
Do so many different things for artists in our community, mm-hmm. like artists of all kinds. They have like markets there and fairs there for local artists. And they do a lot of shows there also. I think they also do classes there.
Dynamite and I have been in a theater show.
We actually were in a performance there.
Oh, that's where they did...
Wild Dust.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's such a safe home base. Like, in the first couple of years that I was dancing, all of the places where you could have burlesque performances were like, oh, the patio of a bar.
The summer hours.
And,
right.
And I love Berserk, but you have to, like, move a whole stage in to be able to dance in there. So there's all of these kind of one-off places where, like, if the stars align, if the circumstances are right, you can do a show there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Guardian is set up for it. It's got all the rigging. It's got the light boards and the stage and the sound. Cues, the mm-hmm. sound. And I feel like people in Spokane are really coming to know and love it as a mm-hmm. place where you can see maybe alternative arts
mm-hmm.
and really just feel safe and at home.
The space is so interesting since it is an old church, but there's like art in there on the walls and stuff. I was trying to harken back to what you were saying, how it's like it has history to it, but then it's also got that sort of modern, like artsy sort of feel to it.
And I think it's on Washington, and it used to be the Greta Green mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Marriage Chapel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that was the first chapel in Spokane, actually, existed.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's that old.
It's the original, yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. Yeah, that's... That's really neat. I've not been there, and I really want to go see it. What do you guys think about, you know, I was thinking about kind of the political situation we're in and kind of like the Weimar Republic during right before the Nazis really took over, you know, like the scene of basically the show Cabaret, mm-hmm. you know, and that transformative power of live theater and actually something like this, which is a little more spontaneous, I think, than a show. Have you had any thoughts about that or what the role of doing things like that is in the situation we're in right now?
I feel like by us doing stuff like this, you know, even if it wasn't a fundraiser, by creating this safe space for our trans community and our queer community and allowing the community to be able to celebrate existence, you know, like I mentioned before, is an act of rebellion. And it shows other people that, like, we're not going to be afraid. You know, we're not going to let things just happen. And we are going to continue to exist and thrive and live our best lives, regardless of what they may think.
Yeah. And, you know, when I first started doing burlesque, I went to this workshop on how to make pasties. And the whole time we were there, they were talking about the history of dance, kind of giving us a primer on the history of burlesque and how it has almost always been used as a form of rebellion during restrictive governments. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at a time where we're poised to see maybe the most censorship we've ever seen. We're seeing people who disagree with the Trump administration, who are permanent residents, getting deported for publicly sharing their opinions, mm-hmm. getting illegally detained, illegally sent to work camps in El Salvador. And I think in a time like this, to perform something that is risky and rebellious, that maybe doesn't fall inside traditional values, that I think any kind of performance like that is a threat to authoritarianism, mm-hmm. is an inherent rebellion, and is something small and beautiful that we can do as queer people, as queer performers. Mm-hmm. And it might feel like really small and silly to come to a burlesque show this weekend. It might feel like you're doing nothing in the midst of the rise of fascism, but it's not nothing. And you know, all of those dollars that you spend on something like this go to support queer people who are trying to transition. And I think that, like Mexi Pexi was saying, you can enjoy this kind of inherent rebellion in a space that is safe for you to be who you are without having to worry for just like 3 hours on a Saturday, you know? Yeah.
And find community too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important. Well, we got to go in like 2 minutes, but I just want to kind of ask, you know, I'm sure the show gives you a lot of hope that's coming up. And is there any other places where you're finding some hope and happiness, you know, in the light of everything's going on? I mean, it is kind of in short supply. And I always feel like I'm doing really good, but at night is when I have bad dreams mm-hmm. or can't sleep, you know. So
I think there's a lot of courage going on right now. There's a lot of people just trying to do the best they can. Like, you look at some of the federal workers that are leaking tips to the news or that are being as inefficient as they possibly can be right now. Just all of the little acts of rebellion, seeing people gathering this weekend for the Trans Solidarity March, seeing the city council prepare to pass an ordinance that would enshrine Spokane as a shield city where people can't be prosecuted, which, I mean, Washington already has a shield law, but just seeing our elected officials make that extra step to show that queer people are protected here. There are lots of little things that give me hope in the same time that I'm sinking into a lot of despair and anger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What gives me hope is seeing that other people in other places, not just in our country, but around the world, are also protesting on our behalf. That, like, amazes me.
Yes. Yeah, that is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, that's one of the reasons why, like, I wanted to make sure that this show is also 18 and over, because we have so many young people in our community that I want them to see that it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, all of the little things that they're doing, whether they think it's enough or not, when you get enough of us out there making noise, it is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want them to keep fighting in their own little ways and whatever ways that they can alongside of us, and us continue to support
them. To see that those of us who came before them are trying to paved the way for them.
I really keep coming back to that Dan Savage quote.
Yeah.
That's a great
quote. We dance so that we can keep protesting.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So that we can deal with the horrors that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great way to leave this. And if anybody's just tuning in right now, we're talking about the burlesque show Nerdgasm, which will be this weekend, both Friday and Saturday night. And, you know, if you want to, I don't know, for me, I just looked up Nerdgasm, like spelled like,
spelled think. Exactly how it sounds.
In Spokane. And you can check it out there. All right. Anybody, anything else?
And don't forget that we do have our flash sale going on. So use STUDENT10, all caps, to get your $10 off of your ticket and come have a great time with us.
Fantastic. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Out and About. And I'll be back next week. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane. Through eyes of love, I see. I'm really looking at a friend. Fall out of thoughts, so where life ends. My heart goes out to others, but then I make a mess. And we've been walking the tightrope, trying to make it right. Walking the tightrope, every day.
There's a mouse in the house. Oh, wait, it's just little Mike Johnson. He's harmless. Mike is Speaker of the House of Representatives, which used to be a vital part of America's national government. The Constitution empowers the House to oversee the federal budget, public policies, and the actions of presidents. But Johnson has meekly surrendered these core powers and his own relevance to Trump's autocratic executive branch. Mike even failed to be Squeaker of the House, for he issued no peep of protest as the authority of elected lawmakers was seized and pocketed by a corrupt chief executive claiming that he's the law of the land. As Representative Jamie Raskin put it, instead of standing against imperious one-man rule, Johnson applauded, reducing himself to Trump's, quote, little buddy. Even more pathetic is seeing Johnson and the GOP's entire congressional caucus kowtow to Elon Musk, sheepishly obeying the right-wing dictates of an overprivileged South African finagler who's never been elected by anybody to anything. Having bought his way into Trump's golden orbit of billionaires in the last election, Musk is now prancing around as America's acting president, while Johnson cheers. But Trump, Musk, and Little Buddy have a problem that they don't seem to grasp. We the people simply don't support what they're doing to us. It's now obvious that they're waging a billionaire's knows best chainsawing rampage against public programs that benefit us commoners, especially any program that protects us from the unbounded greed of billionaires like them. This is Jim Hightower saying, these corrupt wannabe monarchs have been sipping their own bathwater, thinking it's champagne. But the public is on to them and on the move against them. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.com.